Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if someday you could say, I have a problem with socks. Not that that's really going to help, but at least you got an option.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
There you go. Welcome to the program, I am Ron Van Dam. Hold on tight, it's going to be a wild one. I'm so glad you stopped by. I don't know why, but nonetheless, I'm glad that you did stop by. Make yourself comfortable. Take your shoes. Oh, no. Actually, put them back on. That stinks. Do you wash your feet? When you take a shower or a bath, do you wash your feet? I don't. I can't reach them. They are so far away from my arms, it's not funny. I have to hire somebody to wash my feet. It's a problem. I've just spent the first minute of the program talking about washing my feet. Uh-huh. No, it gets better, I swear. I swear it does. Just hold on, it's going to get better. For those of you joining us for the first time, where the hell you been? Also, the background music, Jason Shaw, man, he composed this thing, and thank you, Jason, and performs it. John Shanahan, comedian, comedy writer, man, he's the voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Nicole Reed, she books a lot of our guests on the program, and she's the British babe that you hear at the beginning of the program. I don't know how to thank them. I don't think you really even need me. Statement. Never heard one. I've realized something about myself just now. I mumble if I say something incredibly sarcastic that I really don't want anybody to hear. If I say it loud enough, people will say, what did you just say, Ron? Wait a minute, what did you just say? I can't believe you just said. So I mumble, and that way people that are really listening, they pick it up a little bit. People that aren't listening that well, they don't even know I said something. So the mumble sarcasm bit actually works for me. And I guess I've been doing it all my life. I think when I was a baby and I talked for the first time at the age of maybe about one or something, I don't know when I started talking, I wasn't really listening. I don't think I actually said any words. I think I just mumbled sarcastic things about being a baby. I think I mumbled sarcasm. I think that's how I started. Isn't it interesting that your brain doesn't develop enough for you to remember anything that you did before the age of like three? I don't even remember the age of three, to be honest with you. I have no idea what I was doing. It's because I didn't do anything. I just laid on my back and played with some little plastic stars hanging from a rope near my crib. And I went to the bathroom a lot in my pants. I think that's all. I don't think I did anything else. I played with things. Children are interesting, aren't they? Oh, Ron, you're going to do the children are interesting bit? Do we have to hear this again? Yeah, you do, because it's interesting. You can buy little children, little toddlers, all the gifts in the world, these things from toy stores and all that stuff that are neatly packaged in their playhouses and all this kind of stuff. But a child, an infant, all they're interested in is picking up a pot and hitting it with a spoon. That's all they care about. They don't even know that they're hitting the pot with a spoon. They're just like occupying themselves. They don't know it's a toy that you bought in the store for $20. They don't know that. And what does an adult want? For a child to be happy? No. For a child to appreciate, I just spent $20 on you. That's all we're looking for. That's all we're looking for. Are we looking for love as a parent? No, 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 no. Are we looking for recognition? No, no, no. What are we looking for? For you to understand that I just spent $20 on you. That's what we're looking for. It's a monetary congratulations. That's all I want. That's all I want. All right. I still haven't really said anything of any consequence. So here we go. I, on a daily basis, I'm raising my hand. I, repeat after me, on a daily basis, can't stand Trump. Can't stand Trump. Really, Ron? Really? Yeah, really. I'm sorry, I can't. And I still run into people every day, and they say to me, so what is Trump doing now? Why are you asking me? What, am I the go-between between you and Trump? No, read a paper. Listen to something. Why are you asking me? What am I? You don't know what's going on with Trump? I haven't been paying attention. You haven't been paying attention to a man that's destroying democracy? You don't pay attention to that? I'm sorry. Man. You know, this is a democracy. I think everybody kind of forgets that. This Mueller thing, they call it the Mueller probe, which is really a fancy way of naming a colonoscopy. Ron, it's time for your colonoscopy. Oh, not again. Yeah, we call it the Mueller probe. Oh, no, not that. How many fingers here? You know, when I chose a doctor, when they give you that little anal rectum exam there for the annual physical, do you get those things? I chose a doctor with small fingers. That's how I gauge it. I chose a very frail female to be my my doctor. She's a wonderful person, but she has small fingers. So it works out for me. See, I think ahead. I think outside of the box. I don't know where the box is or what the box is. I know I'm thinking outside of it, though. I'm not in the box. I wouldn't recognize even if I was in one. But I think outside of it. I say to myself, excuse me, I've got to leave the box for a while. I need to go think outside of the box. So I do. Anyway, the Mueller thing, eventually he's going to be finished with his investigation. But here's the problem. And I never really thought about it, but now I am. When Mueller is finished with his investigation, it's not like the results of it are announced to the world. No, they're not. What? What do you mean they're not? Yeah, the results of the Mueller investigation are given to Congress. And they look at it, and they don't have to release it to the public. Excuse me. I find that adorable. Let me just remind you of something. The public are the people that you're representing. You can't ask for something on behalf of the public, get the information, and not tell the public. That's not democracy. You people in Washington tend to forget a tiny, tiny, tiny little aspect of all of this. You work for us, and I'm one of the us, so you work for me. Why can't I just fire Trump? Why can't I do? You work for me. If I hired you, I can fire you. And Trump should understand this better than anybody. So I want him fired, and that's it. And take all your friends with you. This is all just a bunch of crap that's going on here. Get all your friends. I know, Donald, you knew nothing about the Russia ties or anything like that. Yet there are six people around you that have been indicted to jail terms. So either you're incredibly naive and stupid, which is certainly part of it, or you are the worst person of hiring I've ever seen in my life. You are the worst human resources department ever. Everybody you hire, you either fire in very short term or they're being indicted and will be serving a jail sentence. These are the people that you hire. You're bad at it. You're bad at everything. Nothing you do is good. Nothing. You can't talk. You can't use big words. You misspell things. You don't know how to read. You're angry. Some people think you're racist. I don't know if you actually are, but you certainly act like it publicly. You call people names constantly. You bully people constantly. You run the government like it's a mafia. You threaten people. I don't understand you. What are you doing? Get out of the way. Get out of the way. You're in the way. And while you're in the way, you're doing stupid things because you're a stupid man. There's a guy, Harold Schultz. He runs and owns and created Starbucks, another one of these large companies. And he's another guy who's a billion upon billionaire who is going to use his own money. He's a big business mogul, and he wants to run for president as an independent. Harold Schultz. So, Harold, here's what you don't understand. We already went through the guy who's the big businessman. That didn't seem to work too well. I mean, if you ran for president, would we not think that you're trying to open up a Starbucks in Russia? Are we going to go through all this again? No, I don't think so. Not this time around. By the way, Harold Schultz, this is the year of the woman, if you haven't noticed. A woman will be the next president, so don't bother. No, you can't, so don't. Get out of the way. Harold, get out of the way. Harold Schultz made the statement in a very modest way, running for president. He said, I may not be the smartest man in the world, but I listen to the American people. And Donald Trump responded in tweet form, obviously, responded by saying, we already have the smartest man in the world as the president of the United States. Of course, referring to himself. Donald, you're not the smartest person in the world. And you don't even mean that as a hysterical comment. You actually think you are. And that's my greatest concern. My greatest concern is that you think you're the smartest man in the world, or certainly in the United States. That alone disqualifies you from playing the game. When you go to Disney World, you can't go on every ride. You have to be at least this tall. That's a visual. I'm holding my hand up. There's a restriction on rides in Disney World. If you work for the government, you go through a drug test to make sure there's nothing in your body that's crazy. You might even undergo a psychological testing to make sure that you can uphold the freedoms and the sensitivities of the United States of America. To get a job, you need a college education. There are restrictions and qualities that must be met. When you drive a car to go for your license, you have to go for a little, you have to look at an eye chart and make sure that you can see well, that you think properly, that your reaction time is well enough, that you know how to drive. There are restrictions on everything that we do. But to be president, nothing. If you can trick the American people like a snake oil salesman, if you can trick them, you got the job. And that's what happened. So here are some of the requirements that I wish to change in order to make this a real democracy. A, when you're president, you can't go 4 years. I don't trust anybody anymore. 2 years tops. And when you're running for president every 2 years, you're going to make damn sure that you're doing a good job. You're going to make so sure that you are pleasing the vast number of American people, none of this customer base, political base kind of crap. You got to please everybody, otherwise you out the door. And this is going to be every 2 years, so you constantly better be doing a job for everybody, not just your base, but for every living American. You better, otherwise you out the door. I can put up with 2 years, which is a long period of time. You string a lot of 2 years together, you're not that much closer to death, believe me. 4 years, and then the possibility of another four, 8 years as president, one person? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it doesn't work like that. You see, here's the difference between democracy and dictatorship. Dictatorship, you have the same person in power forever until they're overthrown. Democracy should be the opposite. Democracy, nobody stays in office for very long at all. That's a real democracy. You're pleasing everybody constantly. Otherwise, no. I like that. I like that. Number two. If there's a government shutdown of any sort, Congress doesn't get paid. And they don't get paid retroactively either. Once you shut down the government, all the Congress people, the White House, all the people in the White House, the president, everybody, you don't get paid. And you don't get paid at all until you open up the government. That's number two. And I don't think anybody would have a problem with that rule being passed immediately. You'll think twice before you shut down the government ever again. When the government's shut down, Congress loses their health benefits for that period of time. They lose their pay. Nothing's retroactive. You're out of a job. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You have to go to work. You just don't get paid. That's the rule of government shutdowns. Number three, outlaw government shutdowns. You can't do it. You can't do it. If a private employer, if Walmart said to its employees, we're discussing putting in vending machines in all the Walmarts, and some of us here in corporate don't want the vending machines, others do, so we're kind of arguing about it. So in the meantime, we're not going to pay our workers, but you have to come to work. How many people in Walmart would start burning the Walmart down? I mean, common sense, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I don't get it. No one's working on the common sense train anymore. I don't know. My guest is going to join us very soon, and you will find the guest fascinating, as you usually do, certainly. I don't know. I don't know. I pinch myself every morning when I get up to see if I'm still living in this nightmare. And I know I am. Now I just enjoy pinching myself. I don't know why. That's a weird fetish, isn't it? I make believe that things are going to be all right. But it's a make-believe land. Donald Trump is probably a very nice person. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't mind having a beer with him. But he doesn't drink beer. He doesn't drink at all. Can you imagine if he did? Can you imagine if he drank beer? If he drank alcohol? Oh my God, we'd have fighter jets flying over Germany and Poland for no reason whatsoever. I heard that one of the vending machines, speaking of vending machines in the White House, was actually stuck. Donald loves junk food, and there was like a bag of chips in the vending machine, and he put a dollar, put four quarters in there in the machine, and potato chips didn't come out. So he declared a state of emergency. Did you hear that? That's a joke. Not funny, because I have no audience. I think even if I did, they wouldn't laugh, so let's just dismiss that part. I can edit this out. Or I can be transparent and leave it in. I'll leave it in. What the hell? What the hell? All right. Our guest comes up shortly. But first, I'm not really too sure if you're aware that this program is very special to me. I form a relationship with every one of my listeners. I know it sounds wrong, but it works.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Molly Yeh joins us now. She's a cookbook author and Food Network star, as you probably know. She has an interesting background, and she brings it to the forefront, expressing through her her cooking and her creativity. You've been doing this a while, I understand.
I have. I've been with my mother in the kitchen since day one. She is my biggest cooking inspiration, and she just inspires all of the recipes that I create today.
You know, it's interesting, in these days of Food Network and cooking shows, most people get their education from watching television, learning how to cook, but there was a time that you learned it from your family members, and that was how that worked.
I remember before Food Network existed, I remember just hanging out with my mom, creating those moments and cooking with her. It was awesome. And today, you know, my biggest inspiration in the kitchen is my mom, my heritage. And I now live on the farm in the upper Midwest in northern Minnesota. Uh-huh. And so I would say that those are my biggest inspirations. All my recipes, I love to tell a story.
Can people who live in cities like New York and Boston and Los Angeles, can they understand the closeness that you have to growing food?
Absolutely. I mean, especially today, there is this movement, this from-scratch movement, where people are starting to care more about where their food comes from. They want to learn more about the farmers. And, you know, there is this movement away from processed, pre-packaged food. And so in my kitchen, you know, I just love this. I love having real ingredients on hand all the time, fruits, veggies, real dairy milk, and just using them to create dishes that are nourishing, that are nutritious. They don't have to be that difficult to make, and you know, they're really tasty.
That's fantastic. Now, interestingly enough, you were in Brooklyn, which is very, very urban, and then you moved to a farm. Was that like culture shock for you, or location shock, I guess, is what you call it?
I'll put it this way, Ron. It is going to be 27 below zero tomorrow where I live, which honestly, though, it's like it's perfect weather to stay inside and cook. And so one of my favorite recipes to make is my mom's mac and cheese. And it's a recipe that I grew up with, and it's perfect for 27 degree below weather. And so my mom, she would make it, and I would be at the counter with her, like, grating cheese and, you know, making the sauce. And these days I make my own updated version of it. Uh-huh. And so I add caramelized onions to mine. I like adding a little hint of Dijon, and I make it fancy with Gruyere. And, and you know, these days food can be shared so easily. And so people in cities, you know, of course, everybody has social media. Everybody has Instagram. And so it really is easy to learn about ingredients and to learn about different foods. And, you know, one thing that's great is that milk is actually one of the most Instagrammable foods. And so anytime I'm making a dairy food, I know that it's going to do well on Instagram, because this new study recently came out that said that milk is actually one of the happiest foods to photograph on Instagram. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense, because, you know, milk is in ice cream, milk is in smoothies. If you're having a latte with a friend, you're going to get some Instagram traction when you post about milk.
Yeah. Talking about milk, there are like 50 million varieties of milk now. When I was growing up, there was milk, and then there was
milk
like
from a cow.
No, there was milk, and there was skim milk, and other than that, you know, get out of here. That's about it. Now we got milk that's coming from things that don't even have milk, and all different grades and fat content. So there's like milk for everybody.
There are so many different kinds of milk. It's easy to get lost. But the thing that I always have in my refrigerator is real dairy milk. Mm. It's affordable, it's accessible, it's wholesome, and there really is no substitute in certain recipes like my mac and cheese. I mean, of course there's going to be a place for different alternative milks like almond milk and coconut milk, but when I am cooking the food that I love to have in the winter on the farm, like macaroni and cheese or chicken pot pies or casseroles, there's no substitute for dairy milk. Yeah. And if anybody is lactose intolerant, there is lactose-free milk. Uh-huh. The lactose has been broken down in that milk, so no worries there. When it comes to milk, it's all going to have the same nutrition. There's going to be your calcium, your protein, your vitamin D in it. And it's just a great, real ingredient.
Now, there's a sweepstakes going on that you're involved in. Tell me about that.
There's a great sweepstakes. You could win a year's supply of free milk, and you can enter by posting an Instagram with your favorite moment that involves milk. And if you hashtag it with the hashtag LoveWhat'sReal and hashtag sweepstakes, you will be entered into that contest.
Perfect. Now, tell us about the cookbook. Still available, of course.
The cookbooks are filled with casseroles, filled with hearty foods. Winter is honestly my favorite time of year. So it's a lot of baking, a lot of desserts, a lot of cakes.
Wow. Okay. I don't know how much you weigh, Molly, but I have a feeling that that doesn't affect you.
Well, I'm pregnant right now, so the scale doesn't matter.
Oops. Sorry. Okay. That's like going up to a woman saying, when are you delivering? And she says, well, I'm not delivering. I'm not pregnant. Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. We can also catch you on the Food Network.
Yep. My show, Girl Meets Farm, airs every Sunday at 11, 10 Central.
And she's got tons of different ideas that are natural and good with milk and all other different ingredients. And this is the perfect time of year to give those things a try as well. Molly, it's been great. Is there some way to follow the Molly experience?
Yeah, well, to find out more about the Milk Life campaign, you can go to milklife.com.
All right.
Milk Life represents America's milk companies and all the information about milk.
Mm-hmm.
And the sweepstakes can be found there.
Okie dokie. Molly A., thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Very cool name, Molly A. It sounds like you're saying your name and then you're celebrating it. Molly, yay! That's nice. I like that. An expression of excitement just because your name was said. Molly, of course, promoting the consumption of milk. as we all do. Oh, God, my chair is squeaky. Can you hear that? That's my chair. I swear it is. Oh, that's got to be taken care of. That's not good for radio. Squeaky chair syndrome. Horrible. Can you imagine being a cow and finding out you're lactose intolerant? That would be a problem for a cow. I'm sure all across this nation, there are cows that are lactose intolerant and are just in a psychological bind, like I'm allergic to my own milk. Oh, how awful that would be. Can you imagine? Not only would you be allergic to your own milk, but you wouldn't be able to have cereal with milk in it. I've gotten into eating dry cereal because it's the milk that has the calories and the sugar. Cereal itself, not so bad. A lot of carbohydrates, but, you know, not as bad as milk, I suppose. I shouldn't be saying that because we're just promoting milk. But I have actually made a concerted at night instead of eating ice cream and all that kind of stuff. If I want a snack, I'll just I'll pour like a small amount of Cheerios into a little bowl, and then I'll just sit there and have the Cheerios one by one like they're individual little hoops. It's not a bad thing. Give it a try. I'm out of time for today. I've passed along enough wisdom for one session, but I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. I hope you join me then. Until that time arrives, which could be very shortly, I wish you peace. Don't forget to pick up any garbage that you've brought in with you, those plastic cups, coffee cups, things like that. Containers, please remove them.